Hey, Podzanos, it's Podzilla 1985.
With the Mario Brothers and plumbing's our game. We're not like the others who get all the fame. If your sink is in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special edition of Podzilla 1985. It's Mario Monday, as we are here to review the Mario Brothers movie and talk all about it. Now, of course, you might be wondering, why, Shannon, why now? Why not 2 weeks ago? Well, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, actually. Well, the truth of the matter is, I forgot, and I'm busy. So this is the first opportunity we get, but I'm going to make up for the lateness with a special cast here tonight. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host, of course, and with me tonight, a panel of familiar faces that you haven't heard from in a while and one that you hear from every week. Let's start with the one you hear from every week. Joining me, of course, is Lindsay Wolfgang.
Hey.
Princess Peaches.
Sure, we'll go with that. That's fine.
Making a grand return to the show, you occasionally see this person on Podzilla 1985. It's the gamer. I don't know. Which name do we pick for you here? Ethan, that's you.
Ethan, are you talking to?
That's me. That's me.
It's Ethan, like, but
Ethan's fine.
Ethan, yeah. Craig Miles here with us tonight. Welcome back, Ethan.
Hello, hello. I'm happy to be back. It's so nice to be on the show again.
It's good to have you back. Before I start kissing everybody's ass, let me also mention we have a special guest with us here tonight. For the first time in years on Podzilla 1985, making his extra grand return, it's none other than our good friend Nate Smith.
Hey, what's up?
Now, how's Nate, going? The last time you were on the show, we're not going to talk about it.
No, we're not. But I'm just going to say that I have changed a lot as a person and become much better than the piece of shit that I used to be.
and I'm
gone woke.
And I'm going the opposite way, baby. Used to be good and now a piece of shit. Here I am drinking my whiskey, eating my pasta, about to take some magic mushrooms as we go down the warp pipe to the Mushroom Kingdom and talk about the Mario Brothers movie.
I was going to say, who the hell gave you mushrooms? But then I remembered we're talking about Mario.
Mushroom Kingdom, here we come.
Plus, Zach Kurgis will probably be on the show here in a little bit. Not saying you can get mushrooms from Zach. I'm not saying you can't get mushrooms from Zach. Let's leave it at that. So we are here to talk about the Mario Brothers movie, which you might be thinking again, hey, aren't you guys a little late in reviewing this? Well, no, because it's important to mention that the Mario Brothers movie is still the number one movie in America, setting all kinds of records. I think it may be, I may be wrong on this, but it may be the highest grossing Illumination film that they have put out.
Awesome if that's true.
Well, it is the first global billion-dollar film of 2023. We're only in May, so there's plenty of time. But the Mario Brothers movie has, as of today, crossed the $1 billion threshold for a film grossing. So congratulations to the Mario
awesome.
Brothers movie. Now, here's a spoiler alert before we get into it. I loved it. Let's just say that. That's the first thing I want to say is I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Is it as good as the original Mario Brothers movie, which came out in 1993? That movie made $20 million at the box office. Think about that. It made $20 million at the box office. The new Mario Brothers movie just crossed
a billion.
How do you
account for inflation?
You use a P-Wing for that?
Yeah, the P-Wing inflates you, and then you fly. And you get them.
And then you put on like this Snoopy suit. Like,
will this one also become a cult classic, or can it not become a cult classic because it's done so well?
You know what? I would say it cannot become a cult classic because it has done so well. That's a good question. I think it's so popular and so good that it's just a classic. But I don't think
because the other one is definitely a cult classic.
It is, and I love that. Let's start this episode, this Mario centric episode, off by talking about the original. Has everyone seen the 1993 version of Mario Brothers?
I've seen a hefty majority of it.
I vaguely remember seeing it like on Disney Channel, because there was one time where they were like showing it on Disney Channel back in like 19.
That's so weird. That was on Disney.
At
like
least,
that was
like
one of mine and my brother's like go-to rentals for a long time.
I want to say it was like 96 or something, 94.
When they my did brother that. Is a he's a big movie buff, so he's shown it to me at least once.
It's a strange film indeed, but I actually, unironically, I really do like that film. I think it's an interesting take on the Mario Brothers mythology. It feels, I know this is going to sound crazy, but it's a little bit more grounded in reality than Mario was, you know, with them being from Brooklyn and they were plumbers. It very much kind of felt like it followed the animated series where they were plumbers in Brooklyn, which this movie also did. I was surprised by that. And I'm also happy about that because, you know, if you go through the Mario games never really had a lot of, you know, big time lore, really. Their storylines, allegedly, but correct me if I'm wrong, because we got a bunch of gamers in here, but Yoshi's Island, I think, established the fact that Mario was in the at least the Dinosaur Kingdom when he was a baby, and it kind of contradicts the other, you know, growing up, my version of Mario is that he was a plumber from Brooklyn who got sucked into a pipe and found himself in the Mushroom Kingdom. Although now that I say it out loud, I'm not entirely positive that that was ever the official plot or if that was just the cartoon and the movie seeping into my brain. In the original Mario Brothers game, were they plumbers from Brooklyn or was he just Mario?
I mean, they were plumbers. But
were they? Are you sure?
I mean, you had the warp pipes and stuff. I mean, unless that's just how they did the wraparound for the TV show and that just stuck, I don't know.
If I recall, in the instruction manual for the original Mario Brothers, when it got ported to consoles, I think it does specify that it is under the streets of New York City. So I think that is the canon lore, at least for Mario Brothers specifically.
Yeah, okay, so I'm looking on Wikipedia, and as everybody knows, Wikipedia, they check and double-check the facts. You can't bullshit Wikipedia. Following the events of Mario Brothers, the game is set in the fantasy land of the Mushroom Kingdom after Mario had arrived through a clay pipe from New York City. So I guess in the original game, he was from New York City. Now, it doesn't say he's a plumber. I that may have been a creation by the original cartoon starring the late, great Lou Albano and Danny Wells, but I mean, I think it's so accepted at this point that it is what it is. It is what it is. Mario and Luigi came from Brooklyn. They got sucked through a warp pipe, and then they stomped turtles for coins. Which, if you do that in real life, you're getting a one-way ticket to the loony bin, and you deserve it, and you probably deserve it. So,
and PETA will come after you. Don't ask me how I know that.
PETA's kind of a piece of shit too, though, to be fair.
That's correct.
Never meet your pet heroes. I'm gonna take a shot of whiskey because now I'm sad.
You know, it's
hold
it's
on.
Interesting.
I hate to interrupt you there, Nate, but I just hit myself in the teeth with the bottle.
Ooh.
Why would you do that?
Anyway, Nate, go ahead.
It's interesting that this movie, like, it starts out, of course, in Brooklyn, and I guess the best way to say this is that it's the movie is kind of like a celebration of just everything Mario, because I mean, it starts with the Super Mario Brothers Super Show theme.
Yes, yeah,
which is super cool that it's not just you know, a celebration of the games, but also just kind of the brand as a whole.
Yeah, and it starts off, you know, one of the big criticisms of the Mario Brothers movie when it was coming out was that people were worried about Chris Pratt's voice and how he was. Yeah, I thought he did great, but I especially loved the beginning when they were doing the commercial and they had the blatantly, like, over the top Charles Martinet style Mario voices. And then they reined it back in with the whole, like, I don't know. Do you think the accents are a little much? It was very good. I thought it was very well done. The whole opening sequence with them in the Punch Out Cafe. Oh, wait, before we say any of this, spoilers, I guess. There's not much.
I mean, it's been out long enough.
Yeah,
but you remember Zach Price got upset when we told him that Vader was Luke's father, and he got upset. And I'm like, the movie's been out for 30 years.
He also has inappropriate thoughts about Miss Piggy.
Who doesn't?
So do we really care?
Who doesn't?
Who make her squeal like a pig? Anyway, spoiler. I mean,
you only need to worry about spoilers if you're from Japan where it just came out. So, you know, maybe that's why we were waiting for the Japanese release, obviously.
Yes. Obviously. And of course, we have a lot of Japanese listeners. Konnichiwa to everyone from Japan. No one listens to us from Japan. Maybe Shion listens to us. I don't know. But point is, spoiler alert, 3, 2, 1. If you don't want spoilers for the Mario Brothers movie, there's not much of a plot. But if you're worried about spoiling what little plot there is, skip this episode. Go somewhere else. Listen to tomorrow's newest episode of PZ85 Plays. You will have the movie ruined for you. But for those of you that have seen the movie, the basic plot is brothers get sucked down to Mushroom Kingdom. They get separated. Brother goes to rescue other brother. They fight a giant turtle. The end. It's not Shakespeare.
And sweet release of death.
Oh, thank Christ, Eggman. So
take me now. I'm ready.
So we're not going to go piece by piece through the movie, obviously, but I really did like it. I want to know, first off, what was everybody's favorite part of the film? Let's start with, I don't know, Jesse. Oh, wait.
Jesse's not here.
Hold on. I can fix that. Give me 1 second. I'm going to move Jesse into this cat.
Okay. Do it.
And there he is. Okay. So, Jesse, we're talking about the Mario Brothers movie, and what's... I said, we're going to talk about our favorite part of the Mario Brothers movie. And then I said, let's start with, I don't know, Jesse. And they said, well, Jesse's not here. And I said, I could fix that. And I moved you over. So, Jesse, what's your favorite part of the Mario Brothers film?
Man, I don't know. there's a lot about that movie I liked.
Jesse completely unprepared and really hates the fact that I can move people between servers.
Sometimes I do. I don't know, man. There's a lot of really cool parts. Like, I really liked how they handled Peach. The beginning part that was even in the trailer with Bowser getting the star, I really enjoyed that.
That's pretty good.
Bowser in general. Peaches. Peaches is my favorite part of the movie.
that song actually cracked, like, the top 100 on the Billboard.
Which is hilarious.
It is, because it's just Jack Black going, Peaches, Peaches, over and over and over again.
And it's glorious.
All right, well, that's Jesse Kimball's contribution. Jesse, thanks for joining the show. We'll see you soon on Call of Duty.
Yeah, I'll be here.
All right, everybody, Jesse Kimball, and we're sending him back to the game room.
Bye, Jesse.
All right, I love that ability. He hates it. I am a big fan of it. Anyway, let's go to Nate. Nate, what was your favorite part of the film?
Honestly, I mean, y'all know I'm a big Nintendo fan, so I can't decide if it's the oodles of oodles of Easter eggs for not just Mario but other Nintendo stuff, or if it's the recompositions of classic Mario music. But I don't know. Those just really spoke out to me. It was nice, you know. Even, you know, like, you have to listen for some of them because they're very subtle. But like in the first when they go underground, like, you can just hear just barely da 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 da.
Yeah,
and, like, that's so cool. Like.
Yeah.
That they didn't need to rely too heavily on, like, pop songs and stuff. They just used, like, Koji Kondo and Grant Kirkhope's stuff, and that's all that they really needed to do.
So that is one of my – it's a small criticism, but I think Hunter and I both agreed on this. Because Hunter liked the movie. He didn't love the movie, but he liked it. And he had a couple of really valid criticisms of it. And one that I did share with him is how weird it was to hear – like, pop music in the Mario Brothers film. The weirdest one for me personally, on a small tangent, was when, I don't know the name of the song, but it's Justin Smart, who is a wrestler that I work with in CCW. It's him and Donnie. They are a tag team called Dangerous and Delicious, and their theme music was in the movie in one part. And so Lindsay and I are sitting there, we're watching the film, and the music starts, and I start looking around thinking Justin was about to make a run in on Mario and hit him with a chair, which would have also been very funny. But I thought the use of, like, modern day pop music in the film was a little strange. Mostly,
by modern day pop music, you mean stuff from the 80s? Because that's about all they used.
For me, that is modern music, because I am like 20 years behind the times. Everybody knows that. I just found out about the band Perry like last year, and everybody's like, yeah, we're sick of the band Perry. I'm like, well, it's new to me. So,
see, I'm the opposite. I wasn't bothered by the 80s music thrown in there. I just saw it as more of a time flashback of this is when Mario actually originally came out.
Exactly. And at least they, like, kept it to that.
I thought the weirdest inclusion was the Well, we said spoiler stuff. The scene where they are like going into the Donkey Kong Kingdom, and Take on Me gets played.
Yeah, that was a strange one. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, I'm the weirdo that's one of my favorite songs from the '80s. So I was just sitting there bopping along with it.
I mean, I was too. When
they ended up cutting a whole song from that segment that was supposed to be like a Donkey Kong themed song. But they replaced it with Take on Me.
What does a Donkey Kong themed song mean?
I don't know. I haven't actually listened
like
to
some more of the game music rather than like, I mean, at least we got like the Donkey Kong rap and whatnot. Because I would be very upset if we didn't.
I was a little upset about the Donkey Kong rap in general though, because like they kept saying, oh, the Donkey Kong rap's in the movie. And it was, but not the actual rap. It was just the beat. Which is cool. Oh, okay. It was still good, but like I wanted to hear the Donkey Kong rap. Ethan, please, for a moment, just give us some Donkey Kong rap.
He's finally. Oh, I can't do
you gotta give him time.
All right. Well, in that, since we're talking to Ethan, what was your favorite part of the film?
Probably like just legitimately seeing Mario's extended family. I'm like, oh my god! As just kind of a Mario dork, that just really like got me to. That almost like I almost freaked out. Like I jumped out of my seat. I'm like, oh my god, Mario's got a. Other extended family, like a cousins, I guess.
Yeah, one was named Giuseppe, which is
one was supposed to be his uncle, and then his dad, and yeah.
Which were, by the way, played by Charles Martinet, who did the voice for Mario in the game. So I thought that was pretty cool that not only did they include Charles Martinet in the film, but him being Mario's like dad, I thought was pretty cool because you know. He is kind of the father of Mario's voice. Although to me, I'll say it loud and I'll say it proud. My Mario was Captain Lou Albano, and it always will be Captain Lou Albano. But it was very cool that they had him in there as different voices. And Lindsay, I think I told you this when we were in the theater. Reno Romano was one of his family members, and Reno Romano, of course, did the voice of Tuxedo Mask, Sailor Moon, right?
Yes, I vaguely remember you telling me that he was the third or fourth voice for Tux.
Yeah, yeah. So that was pretty cool. But I also think that having Charles Martinet in the film as these characters, especially the Giuseppe, I think it was his cousin or whatever, with him doing the wahoo and all that, really, really solidified the decision that I made a long time ago that I did not want to hear Charles Martinet voice Mario for an entire movie because I could not listen to that. I could not listen to that for an entire film as the dialogue. I'm sorry. I could not. It works okay in video games when it's Wahoo, Yahoo, and all that stuff. But can you imagine an entire film in that voice?
I think it would be possible. Like, I mean, the Charles Martinet has, like, a range. I'm sure he could. I have confidence in thinking that he would be able to like kind of rein it back a little bit.
But do you think people would have gotten upset if he had done it but not in the Mario voice? Like if he had done it
have been less popular with adults and still just as popular with kids.
I still think Chris Pratt did a great job though.
He did.
Even if I'm not like the world's biggest Chris Pratt fan, even I was surprised to see that, you know, It felt kind of dissonant at the start, but eventually, you know, it grew on me. Like, you know, that he's a legitimate, you know, voice of Mario now, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the entire cast, the entire voice cast was fantastic. Of course, you had Charlie Day as Luigi, Chris Pratt as Mario, Jack Black as Bowser. I think my personal favorite was Keegan-Michael Key as Toad, because I hate Toad.
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, that was such a fun take on Toad this time.
I hate Toad with a passion, but Keegan-Michael Key made it fun because the dude's just phenomenal. We had Fred Armisen as Cranky Kong. Say, oh, hold on one second, guys. I got to take care of this. Joining us suddenly, Zach Kurgis.
Ooh.
Zach, that's the part where you say
things.
The last
member of the PZ crew.
There it is. We're talking about our favorite parts of the Mario film, and I'm just mentioning how great the voice cast is. I really like Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. I'm sorry. I really like Cody Sandusky as Donkey Kong. I thought that was a lot of fun.
I like that part where Donkey Kong had the option to buy Ghostbusters and he refused to watch it.
I really liked Anya Taylor-Joy's Princess Peach. I just love Anya Taylor-Joy. So the fact that she was in the film at all was fantastic, and that she is Peach just further makes me love Peach. And, you know, thank God we didn't have that. We didn't have that piece of shit Daisy in there. You know, we didn't sully the good name of Mario by putting that bitch in there. You know what I mean?
I think I'm having a heart attack from that statement, Shannon.
I like to give people heart attacks. Zach, since you just joined in, what was your favorite part about the Mario Brothers movie?
Honestly, just all of it. Like the world itself and just seeing all the creatures in their natural habitat. Like, yeah. Especially when they get and the bloopers are just everywhere. I really like the bloopers.
Yeah.
I like the short scene where all the Yoshis were in a stampede.
I did too, but it kind of made the ending, though, like the after credit scene, seem a little like less pointless. Right, because
you're less special.
Yeah, because you already had all these Yoshis, so the fact that a Yoshi popped up in.
But we didn't see a green Yoshi, so I guess they're like trying to do the thing like with Toad, where it's, you know, there's Toad's the species, and then there's Toad the person. I guess there's Yoshi the species, and Yoshi the protagonist.
That was a weird thing too, was the fact that you had all these Toads, but then also you had one guy, Dame Toad, who is a Toad. That was a little strange.
I mean,
that's like naming a human or a human.
Yeah,
we got Mario, so. Toad,
you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I think that's legitimately I think that's canon now, is that his name's Mario and Luigi Mario. And that, by the way, was from the 1993 film with the great late Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo, where they called Toad the Mario Brothers, you know, Luigi Mario, and I think they finally like adopted that as canon, which is great. Also, that film, to give it a little bit of credit, it also had a fantastic cast. Dennis Hopper as Bowser was amazing, and it's the only thing that ever made me give a shit about Daisy, because Daisy was played by Samantha Mathis. Crush that crush button, because I had the biggest crush on Samantha Mathis and Sandra Bullock. They were like best friends at the time. I couldn't decide between the two. Lindsay, what about you? What was your favorite part of the film?
It's such a difficult pick, because I liked all the Easter egg stuff. If I have to narrow it down, it's probably going to be between the old school commercial that gave me my theme song and when they're building their Mario Karts, just because it has the like the select your pieces stuff. And of all the Mario games, I've probably played Mario Kart the most.
That's true. You are a Mario Kart enthusiast. Yeah, I... personally, my favorite part of the film, I agree with Zach, it was the world. I just loved seeing the Mushroom Kingdom realized, because, you know, in the 1993 film, which I really do like the 1993 film, and even in the old cartoon,
it was dystopian,
and then the old cartoon was it was kind of like it was the Mushroom Kingdom, but the Mushroom Kingdom changed with every episode to fit the theme. So, like, you know, they had the Transylvania episode, so the Mushroom Kingdom was like kind of scary and brooding. This one,
you just changed your levels. That's all.
Yeah, but it didn't feel like a real world. This, you kind of felt the world. It was grand in scale, and it was amazing looking. It reminded me of the same thing I loved about Pokemon when Detective Pikachu came out. Because I'm not a huge Pokemon fan. I like Pokemon just fine, but seeing the Pokemon, you know, like on the big screen, right? It was just very, very cool to see that. And it was the same thing with this. I love seeing the Mushroom Kingdom as a realized kingdom. That was very, very cool.
Especially when all the maps were Super Mario World maps.
Yeah, I loved the little things they threw in there like that. That was fantastic. What did you not like about the film? Was there anything that you didn't care for? Once again, let's start with Nate.
Things that I didn't really care for. I mean, I'm not here for Mario's story, but damn, this movie is like really fast paced. Like it's one action set piece to another, which I mean, kind of fits with the theme of like a platformer game, but there's not really much time to like take a breather or, you know, just
the pacing was too quick for you.
Yeah. The pacing was really quick. And initially it didn't bother me, but the more I think about it, it needs a good breather moment, and it really doesn't happen.
Which is crazy because, like, the movie is so light on plot, and yet there's so much they cram into it. Like, there's not a huge amount of story, and yet they cram so much into the, what is it, hour and a half running time or whatever.
It felt like most of their break points, so to speak, was like when they'd cut back to the dungeon or cut back to like Bowser just kind of like waiting. You didn't really have any pause points with the Mario cast. It was all in Bowser's area.
I kind of wish that we never see that, like, we didn't see all these trailers. I know there was only three, but I kind of wish that they just shown two of them, because I thought the climax of the film was going to take place like on Rainbow Road when they were all like racing on carts. Mm-hmm. So when that, like, when they fall off Rainbow Road, I was kind of pleasantly surprised when, like, the eel from Mario 64 eats Mario and Donkey Kong, and it's just like a Monstro situation from Pinocchio, where they're just kind of sitting inside the giant eel, and then they're just like complaining to each other about their daddy issues.
I agree that the trailer spoiled like way too much. Like, if they hadn't shown us the Mario rap in a trailer, and we would have like walked into the theater, and like that's the first thing you think you see, the reaction would have been so much stronger, I think.
I think that's movies in general nowadays. Like, they expose so much in the trailer that it kind of, when you go see the film, it's like you've already seen the best parts. I had the same thing happen to me with Evil Dead Rise. I saw Evil Dead Rise with a coworker last week, and I loved the movie, don't get me wrong. I thought it was really, really good. But as I'm watching the film, I realized that I saw most of this in the trailer. You know, all the good spots were in the trailer, except for, you know, a couple here and there. It was kind of the same thing. They give away too much in trailers. And since they release like 5 trailers per film, you almost see the entire movie like from the trailer, especially with the Mario Brothers movie. Like, they gave away a lot of the big plot points in the trailer. I mean, Rainbow Road, Donkey Kong, and all that stuff. So it was a little disappointing to go into the film and be like, well, I've seen all the good parts in the previews. That's a little disappointing.
Like, their missed opportunity, I felt. They shouldn't have even shown anything with Donkey Kong, because they're like, oh, we're getting Donkey Kong too.
I don't think they should have shown. I don't know, man. I got to stop watching trailers is just the honest answer to it. I got to stop watching trailers because they ruin so much. Let's go to Ethan. Ethan, was there anything you didn't like about the film?
Well, I mostly just kind of agree with Nate, is that the pacing felt too quick, but I kind of understand it. Like, early on, it felt like, okay, we're just here, now we're going here. Oh, hey, we met Peach. Okay, now they're training. Okay, now they're doing this. Now they're going on the adventure. And I just thought it felt really, really quick, and I was kind of surprised. I mean, I know it's only like a 90-minute long movie, but yeah, it felt lightning fast. And I kind of thought the post-credit scene, the one where they tease Yoshi, was kind of pointless. Still kind of just think that. But
I read that that scene was an homage to the first American Godzilla film, where at the end you see the egg hatch and it's a little Godzilla. And
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but it's
okay with that.
Well, it's just weird though, because like, why would you pay homage to a terrible film like that?
I mean, because it was also in Brooklyn.
That's true. Yeah, that is true.
Maybe they're just fans of that movie. I mean, in the same way some of us treat, you know, the classic Mario movie as a cult classic. Maybe some of the animators or the people writing the movie treat that movie as a cult classic.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and I don't hate that movie, for the record. Like, I like that old Godzilla film. It's just, you know, compared to like the Japanese films and even even the more recent American Godzilla films, I forget the studio because I'm a little tipsy now, I'm not gonna lie. but I like those films just fine. Lindsay, what about you? What did you not like? You following the same pattern here? You didn't like the pacing of the film?
I mean, I didn't have a problem with the pacing, but I'm also the one amongst us that has an animation degree, so I kind of understand the choices that they made.
And a short attention span.
I do not have a short attention span, thank you. You have a short attention span.
And a large chest.
The only thing I can kind of complain about is they had a missed opportunity that their ending credits should have been Do the Mario.
Yes. Great. Yeah, absolutely. In a movie that's just drenched in nostalgia and drenched in, you know, like our childhoods, well, being me and Lindsay's childhood at least. The fact that
it was the ending credits of the TV series, and which, just alone with the lines of, hey, come on, it's time to go do the Mario.
Yeah, that would have just been a fantastic add on there. What about you, Zach? Anything you didn't like about the film?
Really, just Seth Rogen.
That's cold, aww, man.
See, I kind of liked him as Donkey Kong. I thought it worked.
It was all cool, but the moment he laughed, it killed it for me.
You just heard Cody, like, that's all.
Well, yeah. No, that's what I told Hunter. When Hunter, I think we were talking about Seth Rogen, I said, just imagine it as Cody, and all of a sudden it's better, because you're like, oh, it's Cody.
He's just messing around. But other than that, I think that was really it. The pacing didn't bother me, because, I mean, it's the same. Technically, it's a kid's movie, so I get that.
Yeah.
And it's made by, like, Illumination, and that's how all the Minions movies are and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, I didn't like the pacing, per se, because of the same reasons that everyone else has said, but I agree with you that I could see why they did it that way. And, again, for, like, and that was one of Hunter's criticisms, too, and I agree with him. The pacing was too fast. But at the same time, you know, it's Mario Brothers. The games have never been, like, like I said earlier in the show, that there has never been like a deep lore or anything. It was just a quick, fun movie. And for people that love Mario Brothers, it was just a complete visual and audio experience of the sights and sounds from the games. I mean, the sound effects were just top notch when they were on Rainbow Road and they're throwing turtle shells and you're hearing all the sounds from the games. I mean, what's that?
I was going to say, or when he's drifting and he gets like the tiny little boost and his fire actually changes colors as he's drifting.
Yeah, there were so many little details that they got absolutely right. And like, I'm not a fan of Minions. I'm not a fan of Despicable Me or anything like that. So when they said Illumination was doing the film, I was a little bit concerned because I didn't want a silly film like that. But I was very happy that they didn't go that route. They didn't go the cheap route with like the humor. It wasn't a bunch of toilet humor and stuff like that. I was very surprised and happy with what they did.
You know, I'm not too terribly familiar with a lot of Illumination's like catalog of movies, but from what I understand, their reputation is generally that they're there to please the common denominator audience, but they're also kind of cheap with their movies. But this movie didn't look cheap. Like, it's a shockingly like pretty movie.
I think
they got that Nintendo money.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not generally an Illumination fan either, although I love the Sting franchise. It just entertains me. But no, they knocked it out of the park with this one.
I think part of that, like Ethan said, is it's Nintendo. Nintendo, you know, famously, if you've read the stories behind the original Mario Brothers movie, they notoriously, you know, gave up the rights to Mario to let this director, it was a husband and wife, make it, and they were so upset with the final product that they never let anyone else touch their properties again. Like, there's never been another Nintendo movie, you know, not even like an animated one. Nintendo had pretty much shut all of their IPs off from movie making because that first one was so badly.
Like, no, you fools, do not touch.
So I could see with this one, they were probably very adamant that it's like, you guys, I could see them just, Shigeru Miyamoto just grabbed the president of Illumination and said, don't fuck this up. You fuck this up, I'll kill your entire family.
You better put a Pikmin reference in it.
Wait, there was a Pikmin reference?
Yeah, there is one. It's in the opening scene of the movie where they're at the rich people's like apartment. There's a statue that's a Pikmin.
I didn't even notice that, because mostly, so Zach saw it before I did, and he kind of gave, you know, he didn't like spoil anything, but he kind of told me certain things to look out for. And I mostly, like in the beginning with the Punch Out Cafe, I was just picking out all the little pictures of the different Punch Out people. There was the Jumpman game and stuff like that. So I completely missed the Pikmin thing. That's pretty cool. Not a game that I particularly play a lot, but it's still cool that it was in there. The references and all of the little things they put in the movie, again, like, plot-wise, it's super light, But if you go in just wanting to have a good time and love Mario, I don't think you'll be disappointed. Of course, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it yet, why are you here? Well, what can we spoil? What could you spoil? Mario beats Bowser? No shit. What'd you think was going to happen? They were going to freeze Mario in carbonite for the sequel? No. Like, everyone knew Mario was going to win.
I like that little scene that they did, just kind of going back to what we liked. It was early on in the movie where their van is not working, so they just decide to go there, like run there to the location that they needed to go
through the construction site.
Yeah, they go through the construction site, and it's like a 2D Mario level, and for whatever
it's
reason,
one.
Yeah, it's 1-1, yeah, and for whatever reason, they blast Beastie Boys, No Sleep Till Brooklyn, and I'm just like, I like this. This is silly.
I agree, but, like, again, if you're going to have level 1-1 from Mario Brothers, like, give me the Mario Brothers, give me a da-da-da-da-da-da, let them run to that, but yeah, it was still fun. It was a lot of fun, and that whole opening sequence, and again, I hate to keep bringing Hunter up, maybe I should have just invited him to the show, but I wanted to have a show with different people on for once. The whole beginning was probably my favorite part of the film. Like, all the little references they threw in there, it was just very, very good. And it felt like once it hit the Mushroom Kingdom, it went from 0 to 100 almost immediately. It was so much better laid out in the very, very beginning. But, like, one of my bigger disappointments for it, and I didn't really answer what I was disappointed in. I agreed on the pacing, but I think my biggest disappointment was two things. One was, I expected so much more from Luigi in the film.
Yeah, he was kind of wasted.
And, like, they took him to the other place, which I thought they did a very good job of showing how creepy the dry bones are, you know, when they were coming back to life and going after him. I thought that was really cool. But they didn't really do much with it other than that, or with the Shy Guys. They were just kind of there.
I'm
and then they were
wondering
gone.
If we'll get some, like, deleted cut scenes when it actually comes out on DVD, that maybe they were going for, like, a Luigi's Haunted Mansion type thing, but we just didn't get the full ordeal. Like, that's why he was getting the dark stuff and the dry bones and the creepy stuff.
I 100% agree with you, Lindsay. I think that we're going to see a bunch of stuff like that, because, I mean, that's kind of what Luigi's associated with nowadays. I mean, yeah, even in the movie, like, during that scene, like, you could hear the Luigi's Mansion music. But I agree. I feel like I love the casting of Charlie Day as Luigi. He brings that same sort of neurotic energy that he brings with, like, Always Sunny, but it kind of fits Luigi, like, perfectly. Like, I think probably my favorite thing from him is just that one line where he goes, you just got to Luigi. That, like, Luigi's a lovable geek, and that worked perfect.
Yeah, but again, I grew up in the 80s. I grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, so I always...
You still hear the other guy.
I still hear Danny Wells.
I don't know Mario.
Yeah. Hey, Mario. Yeah, I always hear Danny Wells and Captain Romano. They will always be, like, my guys. But I thought he really did a good job. I think my biggest disappointment in the movie, and you guys are going to hate me saying this, was Bowser. Like, Bowser... I like Jack Black as Bowser. I thought he did a great job. But it was just the writing for Bowser, that you have this, you know, crazy giant turtle, and his whole plot was that he was in love with Princess Peach, and that's it. That's his entire plot. That's his entire for everything, is that he wanted to have interspecies sex with Princess Peach. And I thought
it's interspecies erotica.
Thank you, Zach. Thank you for clarifying.
I mean, at the end of the movie, he does get put in a jar, so.
He does. He does get put in a jar. And I thought they didn't do a lot with Princess Peach. Like, there was a whole subplot where they were talking about her, how she came to the Mushroom Kingdom. And Mario's like, well, maybe you came from where I came from. And they didn't do anything with it. It was just kind of thrown out there and then abandoned. And I hated that.
They make a little, like, tease. They specifically say, like, you know, there's a whole universe, you know, filled with galaxies. I think there might be some, like, either cut content trying to, like, tie it to Galaxy.
Or they're saving galaxies for a sequel.
Or they're saving it for a sequel.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, my God. I really want to see Rosalina in the next movie.
I think her and Wario both, I think, need to be in the next one.
I think they were dropping a lot of seeds in case they got sequels, but they weren't sure how well it was going to go over. because a lot of people were mad about Chris Pratt and all that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could be just their way of like, hey, this is a Mario movie, but we're going to, because we're hoping to get a universe out of it or something. So we're just going to plan all these so that way, if anything, you can always be like, oh, yeah, they did mention this and this, or they mentioned that and this. And
its own is kind of a downfall because, like, if people are already fans of it, they know those other universes exist. So you could still keep it in its one thing and then save that for the next part or leave that little piece for your after credits Easter egg type thing.
I think having Rosalina as the Easter egg would have worked a lot better than Yoshi.
I agree.
But I also think that, you know, bringing anything else into that world, especially being the first establishing film, would have been a mistake. Like, if they had crammed galaxies in there too, or even some like stuff from Mario 3 with like different power-ups and stuff like that, I think it would have been overwhelming. I think they had the right combination of what they revealed and what they held on to for future movies, so I'm not too mad about that. I hope the future ones, now that they've established the universe, no pun intended, will be a little bit more drawn out and they won't be as rapid fire like we've been talking about tonight. But that did not stop me from really enjoying the film, not just from like it was gorgeous, it was technically well done, but again, as someone that grew up in that era that is a huge Mario fan, as we all are big Mario fans, it really hit the sweet spot. Like it was very well done, and when I walked out, I was very happy with the film.
I loved the selection of power-ups they ended up using.
They had
they didn't try to explain it too hard.
I think my favorite part, I don't know if I ever said my favorite part. I'll get to both of those. Two of my favorite parts. Oh, yeah, I said the world. And I agree with Zach. Well, I have two more, goddammit. It's my show. One, when they're in the field of fire flowers and Peach grabs one and, you know, starts playing with the flames, I thought that was really cool. I have always...
It was also gorgeous.
Yeah, well, that's what I was gonna say.
The animation in that scene was beautiful.
I have always loved the fire flower. That will always be my favorite Mario pickup. I still remember being a kid and being at Walmart with my mom. And, you know, back in the old days, Walmart used to have the kiosk that you could play the old games, or you could play the games that were out. And I played Mario Brothers on there, you know, as a little kid. My mom was out shopping. And I still remember how giddy I felt every time I grabbed the fire flower because it was colorful. You could throw fire. You got the white outfit. I thought it was so cool. And seeing it in the film, not just in a way that they had one fire flower, but an entire field of them, because, you know, these are flowers. That was very, very cool. I absolutely adored that. And of course, my other favorite
on that scene.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. And my other favorite part of the film, of course, was the Luma.
I love the little Luma. I didn't say that part because I figured you were going to take it, and I didn't want to take it from you.
Yeah, the
Luma
little,
was gold.
The depressed, suicidal Luma in a fucking kids' film. That was my favorite thing. He has probably my favorite quote of the entire film. Where there's two of them. The one where he says, time like hope is an illusion, or maybe it's hope like time is an illusion. That is just that's good. And then the very end, and Zach kind of told me about this before I saw it, but he's like, you know, well, the movie's over and it's a happy ending, or is it? Because now it's done and all that's left is you in the void. And I'm like, holy shit.
And they do say they do drop, like, Bowser straight up says like he's gonna kill Mario.
Yeah.
Shit.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, every time he says something sad, the Penguin King is just like, please, we are sad enough.
Yeah, shut him up, please.
I did enjoy the penguins as well.
The penguins were awesome, yeah.
Yes.
The Luma during the scene where they're all like about to get, you know, sacrificed into the lava. And he's like so excited. And then when
boo. He's just so nonchalant, like just goes, boo. It very much reminds me of me and Ethan when we're sitting at the store just talking about dying. And we live and we're like, boo. So we don't have a lot of time left. This has gone much faster than I intended. It was a great movie. I thought it was a lot of fun. I've seen a lot of good movies this year. Like, no joke, in theater. I think I've only seen three, but those three were really good. Lindsay, correct me if I'm wrong. We've probably seen more. But I saw Renfield. Renfield was fantastic. I loved it. Saw Evil Dead Rise. Awesome. You saw Renfield?
Mm-hmm. I saw Renfield.
It was so much bloodier than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
It was bloody as fuck. Saw Evil Dead Rise, loved it, and saw Mario and loved it. So I'm on a good trend here. But
Sisu is pretty
good. Not going to add Dungeons & Dragons to that?
I like Dungeons & Dragons as well. Yeah, it's been a really good year for seeing films in theaters. It's not been a good year for seeing them at Marcus Theaters, though, because their point system is down. Still.
Oh, sucks. Really?
Still. Same. Somehow. Okay, so let's finish this off with two things. First off, who is your favorite character from the film? Let's start with Nate.
That's a toughie. I did really like Bowser, but I like Jack Black. But I'm gonna go a little crazy, and I'm gonna say that I actually really did like Peach's portrayal. I was kind of worried that, you know, they wouldn't make her super interesting, but I'm shocked to say that I enjoyed Anya Taylor's performance and the way they just animated it. Like, they made her really cool.
Fuck you. I was going to pick her too. Now I got to pick somebody else. Ethan.
I'm going to go basic.
I'll just pick the same characters, you know.
I really liked... I think about it more, and I do like Bowser and Donkey Kong. I just liked...
Well, yeah, because you like Cody.
Yeah, I do. I do enjoy Cody. And I just thought, like, at first when Seth Rogen was, like, on screen, I'm just like, oh, God, here we go. And then it really just kind of became natural. Like, it just felt like, oh, yeah, I could so watch, like, a spinoff Donkey Kong movie.
Oh, please, give it to me.
Yes.
Yeah, I hate Donkey Kong, but I love Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. I'm sorry, I really do.
I also enjoyed the line of "That means you, Diddy."
Yeah, I was gonna say
in the movie. I'm so happy.
The Diddy cameo was one of my favorite parts. And Diddy's like, "Oh." what about you, Lindsay? Favorite character?
Luma. Luma's my MVP.
Yeah, yeah, can't deny that. What about you, Zach?
Bowser.
Ah, Steph. It's because that goddamn Peaches song, isn't it? Peaches.
And I'm going to see them in a week, so I'm really hoping that he comes out and does that.
I'll change my answer. King Bob-omb.
Who'd you say?
King Bob-omb.
Oh,
yeah. Especially when he freaks out.
And then he explodes and dies.
He doesn't say anything, but he's there, and then he dies.
I absolutely love that they threw those characters in. Like, King Boo was there, the King Bob-omb. That was very, very cool.
I also really liked the Bullet Bill at the end, and how the only way could stop it was by, like, spinning his tail.
I liked the big Bullet Bill too. The only thing I didn't like was the idea that Mario's thought process was, I know, I'll send this everything. Yeah, I'll send this giant nuclear bomb back to my home world. That'll stop him.
To be fair, there were multiple, like, paths, and he knew that since him and Luigi got split.
I did think the climax of the movie was amazing.
So I don't think he deliberately was like, oh yeah, it's going to go home. I think he was hoping it wasn't, but, you know, it didn't work so well.
Yeah, he realized that everyone had seen him without his gloves, and so he had to take care of him.
Yeah, that was odd. Actually, can I change? But the worst part was that. I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all.
I think he made the right decision in sending a nuke to New York, because he probably thought, well, it'll be for the best.
Because Godzilla. He knew Godzilla was going to be there. They're fighting, trying to kill that Yoshi.
They're fighting that new Kong.
Spider-Man will save him or something.
I also, hearing you talk, did he not wear gloves in the film?
I honestly didn't notice.
When they get home, they take their gloves off to eat dinner. And then
whenever seeing Sonic without his shoes, it's cursed.
And whenever he's playing Nintendo, he has no gloves on, because they only wear the gloves when they're working, because that's their trademark. It's the white glove.
Yeah.
As we all know, you should never play Kid Icarus with gloves off.
That's very, very true. My favorite character was also Princess Peach, for the record, because it was a combination of Anya Taylor-Joy, and I have a huge crush on her, and also just Peach. I always loved Peach. I always thought Peach was cool as hell. So that was very, very good. Second place would definitely be Luma. Third place would be Toad. But it was just great. It was a great, great fun film. And I guess the last thing I want to ask you guys is, what one thing do you want more than anything in the sequel that they're definitely going to make, because the movie has made a ton of movie? Let's start with Nate.
Wario and Waluigi.
All right, you were wrong. Now let's go to Ethan.
Yes.
Well, Rosalina, I know that like they mentioned galaxies and universes, and I'm like, oh man, that I really just want to see Rosalina. She's one of my favorite Mario characters. She's got a defined backstory that Nintendo keeps ignoring. So
I don't know. She's too tall.
That Luma.
She's got to save that Luna who does not want to be saved. Lindsay.
Either an extended water world or the Koopa Kids.
Ooh,
that's a good pick.
Yeah, that's a good pick. Zach.
And I ain't talking about Junior. I mean the ones from 3.
The actual Koopa Kids, not that little rat bastard. Yeah.
Mine would just be wishful thinking, because I don't think it's going to happen. But actually being able to see Little Mac would be cool. Just being, you know, since we use him in Smash.
Just have him come and knock Bowser's
they
face
just have,
off.
They're, well, like, they're at a, they can go they're to a, at a show when they're still in New York, and then they get pulled back to the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah, like he could be taking Princess out on a date and take her to a fight, since he goes to Little Mac's pizzeria and they have, you know, the news clippings.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Little Mac took Princess Peach out, and I'd be like, oh.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. I'm like, oh,
I mean, that would be a good dynamic, too. Then Mario has to ref the match, you know?
Then Mario has to fight Little Mac. Maybe Little Mac is the villain in the sequel.
I'm okay. Oh, I'm okay with that. Just watch out for that punch.
Do we think that, bringing up Mac and, like, obviously, like, Duck Hunt and stuff like that, do we think that we might get some other like Nintendo movies, either from Illumination or anyone else, post after this?
After the money that they made, yeah, I could see that. And if I have to make a guess, I think the first one's obviously going to be Zelda, just because. But to me, the more interesting pick would be like Metroid. I think Metroid could be
Metroid would be awesome.
Yeah, and that, I hope that would be a live action film.
Would Metroid be better as a movie or better as like a series on streaming services?
I don't give a shit how they do it. Just bring Anya Taylor-Joy back as Samus.
I think Metroid is a great pick for another one. I'd also personally like to see like a Kirby movie, but
or Kate Upton as Samus. One or the other.
I don't think the suit would work.
I thought you were gonna say Kate Upton as Kirby.
Yes, fine. Literally, like, Kate have to play every character in every Mario game. I don't give a shit.
I'd be okay if they made a bunch and then ended up making, like, a Smash thing.
Yes, yeah, to say.
But make it from the perspective of someone actually playing with them.
The Nintendo universe. A Nintendo universe, like the Marvel universe before it got terrible. What was the question I asked? I don't even remember anymore.
What you want to see in the sequel.
Yeah, who do we start off with? Who we stop on? Is it Ethan? Ethan, did you say something?
We stopped on me.
Okay, Lindsay then. Lindsay. Wait,
I already win.
I don't remember.
This is why you shouldn't drink when you're hosting a show that's not a normal weekly show.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Don't ooh. They're not ooh for her.
That's a good one. Ooh.
What do you want to see in the sequel?
I hope the second movie takes place in a different world where Mario, Luigi, Toad, and Princess Peach team up to take on a giant frog.
You want to see Super Mario USA or Super Mario Bros. 2.
And they throw turnips, and then at the very end, Mario wakes up. It was all a dream, and the entire film was a waste.
It was a play.
I really like Super Mario Bros. 2, so I would actually be totally down for that.
I also want to see a shower scene for Toad. See, you thought I was going to say Princess Peach, and I flipped it on you. I said Toad.
You want to see if the thing is really like a hat or if it's part of his head?
I don't like that answer. We're going to close the show on that one. All right. No, that's it. No more. He sexualized it, and I did it first, and it's wrong, and we're cutting the show off. You shouldn't sexualize Mario. Okay. We'll be back. We'll be back tomorrow with PZ85 Plays. It's the Curse of Strahd with myself and Lindsay, and of course, Cody, Hunter, and Kaz, and we got a new Pro Wrestling Scripted on Wednesday. We got an After Dark on Thursday, and potentially there will be horses on Friday. We'll see what happens. I want to thank.
We might have a full week.
Yeah, maybe. We've been pretty light lately, but it's been a busy couple of weeks. Of course, we had to do the most recent CCW show, which was really good, and I'm very proud, and thank you to everyone that came and watched me perform and watched all of us there, Dalton and everybody.
Dalton sucks.
Dalton does suck, that's true. And they said it loudly yeah, at the show. I want to thank you Zach, thank you Ethan, thank you Nate for being on the show. It's good to have you guys back. It's for so long now, it's been me, Lindsay, Hunter, Tanner, Kaz, Shelby, and that's pretty much it. Cody too occasionally. It's nice to have different people on and to hear some different voices like we used to back in the old days. So thank you guys for being on. I hope you guys come back soon.
Thanks for having me.
I'll come back as long as you want me back.
All right, well, Ethan's never coming back. So, no. Until next time, guys, for myself and for the crew, thank you. And in case you forgot, I was gonna go, it's a me, but I'm not going to do that. Zach, you do it.
A me.
Thank you.
No.
All right. You guys have a good night. We'll see you on the next show. Take it easy. Nate, take us out.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Wahoo!
I hate you.